Argue, argue, talk, talk, talk. Exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And it is Karen Cataline. So happy and blessed to be with you in this second week of July 2019. This is our 74th show of Spouting Off. And for those of you who don't know, we now have a We have a trademark. Yes, we don't have a trademark on blah, blah, blah. We have a trademark on Spouting Off. In fact, we're going to be at the Western Conservative Summit. Well, actually, not we, me. I'm going to be at the Western Conservative Summit talking to some of you who listen to our program and to get your thoughts, your opinions. I'm going to be a roving reporter. The Western Conservative Summit happens this Friday and Saturday, July 12th and 13th at the Colorado Convention Center. If you haven't gotten your tickets, please do. It is like a CPAC for the Western states. Very, very jam-packed. I would look them up in Google. I wasn't even planning on giving them a free advertisement, but I have never missed a Western Conservative Summit. And they have some unbelievable guests, including Larry Elder, whom I love, lots of national personalities, David Horowitz, who is like practically a national treasure of the conservative movement, having started his life as a red diaper baby. In other words, his parents were communists, and that's what we refer to as red diaper babies. Anyway, so I will be there. Look for the Spouting Off logo, which has kind of a new logo. Actually, we have two, and I'll have a microphone, and I'll be roving around talking to people. So if you see my microphone and you want to spout off, please do, because I'll be walking around to talk to you. As always, if you would like to spout off in this first few minutes, I've got a guest who's coming on a little early because we have so much to talk about, and I will tell you about her momentarily. But if you'd like to call, this is, after all, live talk radio. That's what makes it fun. It's no fun if there aren't callers to talk and exercise, hopefully, our First Amendment rights. It's amazing how many people confuse what the First Amendment means. It doesn't mean you can't be held accountable for what you say by private citizens and by individuals or your job. It means that you can't be punished by the government for what you say. That First Amendment right is under attack along with all the rest, and that's one of the things we talk about around here on Spouting Off. So the number to call in the next 10, 15 minutes is 888. That's 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Now, I was looking at all the stuff that I could talk about. Oh my God, I could do 2-3 hours talking about all the things that are going on. I have a new blog out, which actually I'm going to pull up right now so that I can tell you the name of it. I usually do put out a blog first of the beginning of the week, either a blog or an op-ed or something of that sort, because I get to do talk radio all around the country. And so I'll write, as I say, an op-ed or something, and whatever is on my mind and whatever might be current that is touching my passions, shall we say. So how many chances should the propaganda media get? That is my blog for this week. I'm not going to talk much about it at the moment because I've talked to you about it quite a bit, about if you have an associate in business or privately or a friend and you keep catching them in lies. Are you going to keep giving them unlimited chances to lie and betray you? And yet somehow people keep listening to the media and the propaganda media that continues to lie, continues to double down on lies after they've been proven to be lies. Fascinating times in which we're living in. I also thought about talking a little bit about liberty, because after the 4th of July last week, it was interesting to watch Donald Trump and his wonderful celebration and history lesson to America. He didn't mention his name one time. Not one time did he mention his name. And yet, the left did everything they could to demean and defame him. And really, what are they defaming and demeaning? They're defaming and demeaning America. Boy, I'll tell you, you really have to have gone way off the cliff when liberty scares you. And that, in fact, is what has been going on. Liberty scares the left. It's not enough for them not to like something. They have to force you either not to like it or not to do it. And that's true of almost everything. There's an old phrase, the left likes anything so long as it's mandatory or prohibited, one or the other. Either you have to or you don't have to, but you don't get a choice in the matter. How ironic. How unbelievably ironic that they're the ones that tout pro-choice, right? They're pro-choice, they say, but they're only pro-choice about one thing in all of their politics. I can't think of anything else that the left talks about choice except, abortion. That's it. You have a personal freedom about having an abortion. Do you have personal freedom about who might be your doctor, about what kind of insurance to have, about what kind of car to drive, about what kind of toilet paper to use, and on it goes. No, you're not allowed. They want to control you. They want to tell you how to live. If you're in the oil and gas business, God forbid, you have to be shut down. There is no tolerance for disagreement on the left, except that they don't want the government or anybody else getting in between them and their doctor. Of course, if the government wants to get in between you and your doctor regarding your spleen or your liver or your lungs or your kidneys, that they it's okay with, as long as you still maintain the right to have an abortion. Funny I should mention that, because I've been wanting to have this guest on for quite a while now. I happen to be tuning into talk radio, something I do frequently. I listen to a lot of other people on talk radio. I listen to their opinions. I yell at the radio, whatever suits. And I happen to listen to a friend of mine that I've known for many years now, in and out of politics. Funny thing is, we don't always agree, and that's okay, because we're not those leftists who think that everybody has to agree with us. We enjoy a good debate. We enjoy a good discussion. But she is a marvel and a force to be reckoned with. Her name is Lynn Cottrell, and she is extremely active in politics here in Colorado, and she has a spectacular charity called TAPS, which she will talk about, and I'm going to bring her on just a little early for that reason. But the other thing that I heard her talking about, she was calling a talk radio station, and she said that she saw a movie. There have been a couple of pro-life movies out there. And it brought up for her a very personal experience, and she changed her view on abortion. The reason I want to have her on is because I've been having some changes of heart about my position on abortion as well. And that's been coming on for quite some time. And I think it'll be fun and interesting and hopefully enlightening to talk to Lynn about that, as well as some of the other things that are going on with her. So stay tuned for that. At about quarter after the hour, we'll bring her on. And with all the things I was thinking about talking about, and that is the embarrassment of riches of doing talk radio, is thinking about all the things that are going on and all the strong opinions that I have, which is why my show is called Spouting Off, that I could spout off about, I started thinking about a project that I'm going to be a little coy about because I will be talking about it in the future. I agreed to be a spokesperson for a new project that just officially kicked off yesterday. And I will be talking about it. But what it brought up was this fascinating resistance, to use a phrase, by other Republicans / conservatives who are always telling Republicans what and what to do and what not to do. And I always have found that so fascinating because in many states, Colorado being one in particular, the Republican Party has really not been doing well. And I'll tell you, I don't begrudge any of the things the party may do from here on into the future. They've taken a lot of hits. I am officially an unaffiliated voter right now, but obviously I'm a proud conservative talk show host and columnist. So, but I am unaffiliated. And I think a lot of unaffiliated voters were really disenchanted with the Republican Party because they kept going away from their values. And so here we have people who are basically pundits or strategists in the Republican Party, and they want to tell grassroots enthusiastic people, you better not do that. You better not get involved in that project. It may not succeed. We don't want to look like a failure. Or, and here's really a great one, this is the one I love, we don't want to energize their base. Let me say that again. We don't want to energize their base. And I scratch my head and I say, what, you don't think this is energized? When Antifa starts riots in the street, when people claiming to be a girl when they're a boy at birth are so offended at the pronoun that a shopkeeper uses, wasn't even trying to offend, but even if you do offend, hey, that's not against the law. But if a shopkeeper says he instead of she or she instead of he, the guy starts turning over merchandise and committing a crime, property crimes, and worse, making threats. A terrible potential attempted, I should say, mass shooting in Colorado. Mass shooting in Colorado turns out to have been done by a, quote, LGBT disaffected person at a high-level STEM school, high scientific mathematics school, in which he or she felt bullied. So now bullying is the reason to commit crimes and threaten people, and in this case, he killed one person. You know, you could call him you could call him a pussycat or a cow or a dog or a horse. Call him whatever you want. Years ago, God, I date myself. When I said sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, that's out the window now because the left has incited people into thinking that if you use the wrong pronoun, you are worthy of being hit, hurt, possibly killed. This is the kind of insanity, upside down moral insanity that we're talking about here. And I say that by way of pointing out, you think the left isn't energized? We're dealing with a hard left, so-called progressive, I don't care what words you want to use, people who are avowed socialists. My father would be horrified if he knew, may he rest in peace, that we were living in a time where we have avowed socialists running for president and being taken seriously as the next president of the United States, and avowed socialists and avowed anti-Semites in Congress. You think the left isn't already energized? What's not energized in some regards is the Republican Party, because establishment Republicans are telling them, well, don't do that. Even if it's difficult, even if it is almost impossible to try and throw cold water on a person's project and say, well, don't do that, it might not succeed. Well, what are you saying when you say that they might energize the base, or it might look like a failure? Well, you're on the defensive, aren't you? Aren't you being on the defensive? Since when in our last lifetime have the Democrats been playing defense? They've been playing offense, 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 offense. They are pushing their agenda in every state in this union with national funding for things like the red flag bill and like safe injection sites, and on it goes. I think they're energized. The problem is, not only are we energized, the conservative movement is watching what's going on. Conservatives everywhere, even people that aren't conservatives, are watching what's going on, and they are energized. You don't need to fire them up. They're fired up. What they need is a project to get behind and put their efforts and know that people are supporting them, instead of a Republican Party that says, no, I don't want to have any part of that. We might fail. Okay, I could go on, but I want to bring on our guest. Doug is giving her a call. We're going to talk to her for about the first 15 minutes, take our commercial break at about the bottom of the hour, and we'll have a nice long time to talk to Lynn Cottrell. Good. I tell you, I have the best producer on BBS Radio. Doug from BBS Radio is the best. And we have Lynn Cottrell on line one, ready to talk to us here on Spouting Off. Lynn, are you there?
I am, Karen.
I love it. Thank you for coming on the radio on such short notice. And when I asked you, did you have a bio? Did you have a picture? And you said, nah, I don't have any of that. You are one of the hardest working political activists that I know. Tell us something about what got you involved in politics and what keeps you active.
Well, it's funny. It goes back when I was in high school. I'm from Michigan. And I was a Republican way back then. My parents were Republicans, so, you know, you're always the same as your parents. And one of the things, I just have to tell you this funny story. We had a parade.
Tell me a funny story. I could laugh.
when I was in high school, we had a parade, and we got a little cart, and we pulled a cart with a car, and we had a donkey in it and a big sign that said, I'm going Republican, why don't you? Right,
so
down Main Street in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Anyway,
you're going,
that was a so
with a
fun.
Donkey? I see.
It was a little donkey, yes.
Yeah. You should have had an elephant. I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
But anyway,
so
you have
been around in politics for a very long time. You were a county chair. You've just done a lot of activist stuff. Before we get into your wonderful charity TAPS, what has been animating you lately that's gotten you going, that you've been working on? I know one thing you've been working on. You can tell everyone about that if you want. Please do.
Well, yeah, that's the one thing right now that I'm focused on. I mean, the horrible things have been going on in our state. Watching what's happening has just been terrifying to me, to see our beautiful state turning so blue and going so far left.
And let me just say, for the national listeners, people who aren't necessarily in Colorado, we talk about these issues because Colorado is kind of the petri dish for the rest of the country right now. We're sort of at the epicenter of the Democrat nirvana. And so if you want to know what the Democrats are going to be pushing in your state, if you're not vigilant, start watching Colorado. So go ahead, Lynn. Tell us.
Well, when Governor Polis signed the National Popular Vote bill, I was horrible. To do away with the Electoral College is really frightening to me. And that's where they're trying to go with this. And so they came out with a petition to try to repeal this. And the petition, if we get enough signatures, and it looks like we're there, we need 125 valid ones. They've got like 160,000, 125,000. We've got 160,000 now, and they're still coming flying in the door.
Let me interrupt. I'm sorry to do this, but I just want to give a little bit of background as to what the National Popular Vote is all about, because they have been pushing this in states around the country. And what this is, for people who may not know, is in states where they think they can get it passed, they have decided, the left, the hard left, and that's who controls the Democrat Party today, make no mistake about it, that they could make an end run around Congress and get rid of the Electoral College if they made a pact with enough states that had at least 270 electoral votes. So they're going to make pacts with these states to give their votes over to whoever wins the popular vote. And they believe, and I say that advisedly, believe that that will in effect eradicate the Electoral College and create a national popular vote. What that does in places like Colorado and Wyoming and Illinois and all, well, not Illinois, flyover country that don't have the high populations of New York and Los Angeles, New York and California, which just happened, by the way, to be run by Democrats, is it hands our votes to them. It just disenfranchises the entire state from voting for president, right? And so what you're doing, and God love you for doing it, is that you're involved in helping get a petition on the ballot to give people a vote about whether they want to give away their vote to California and New York, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Well, that's good.
That's what they're doing, and the Democrats are just saying the same thing. They are saying, we want our vote to count, therefore you want a national popular vote, which is totally wrong, but they're misleading people.
So, gee, you think they do that?
Yeah. So, you know, it's going to take some education here if we get this on the ballot. But one of the things, if it is on the ballot, it cannot go into effect this election, period, no matter how we vote. It just won't go into effect. So. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, obviously we want the opportunity to vote no, and that's what we want to do. So I'm very enthused about it. I can't believe the number of volunteers that have come on board. They're saying this may be the Frank McNulty, who is sort of heading the whole thing up here in Colorado. He said this may be the largest volunteer effort on a petition ever.
In the state of Colorado or... ever.
Well, in Colorado, I think you're referring to. But,
well, and it has a value on so many levels, because there were so many terrible things that went through the legislature with no power enough to stop them on the part of Republicans, that people took days off from work just to go down and protest, knowing full well that it wasn't going to make any difference, that there weren't enough votes to stop it, but they wanted their voice to be heard. What I think is particularly ironic in a sad sort of way, Lynn, is that the very people that voted for Jared Polis and honored him with their vote, as soon as he got into the governor's mansion, by the way, where he doesn't live, he took their vote away for president. Now, how's that work? Right?
Right.
You know, it's terrible. And they are trying this all over the country. There's national money behind it to say that we should have a popular vote for president, which all that does is hand the entire country to New York, California, and Illinois in the highest populated areas. And just like we know in Colorado, not everybody thinks the same way, has the same values. And just because Denver and Boulder, for example, think something doesn't mean they should have the right to impose their will on Greeley and Grand Junction, right?
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. It's
yeah.
It's very concerning, and I think we're making a big headway with this thing. It's a rebuke of the governor and his policies. And
yeah.
The other, some of the side advantages are that it's engaging Republicans. They're getting them motivated. They're getting out. They want to do something. You know, I think that's what they, where they feel with their frustration. And this is allowing them to get out there and do something. So
right.
They're very enthused, and it's getting them engaged. I'm very happy.
I don't know if you happen to hear my monologue, but I was talking about that very thing, about how there are some political strategists who are discouraging people from doing this, that, or the other thing. And it's just so counterproductive, because people need a structure within which to have their voice heard. And that's exactly what you're doing. And on so many issues, they need to have their voice heard. Before we go to a break, let's get started, because I want to spend a little more time on this, talking about TAPS. Tell us about TAPS and why you've spent so much time. You've raised millions of dollars for this organization. And for those who've never heard of TAPS, Lynn Cottrell, what is your actual position? Do you have one there? Or are you just a fundraiser?
Well, no, we raise money for TAPS.
Yeah.
So we're
so
fundraisers.
Who cares what the title is, right?
Right.
You raise
right.
money for TAPS.
Well, we do.
Tell everybody.
TAPS is called the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. It helps the families of our fallen military heroes. And we became involved with, we were exposed to it. It's an interesting story how we got into it. Steve Ritchie, who was the last ace, I don't know if you know who Steve Ritchie was, but he shot
And by we, by the way, you're talking about your husband and Beau
yes,
and yourself,
my husband,
right?
Beau and I, yes.
Okay, right.
Right. So we had, he had been involved with doing these celebrity golf tournaments for Make-A-Wish for years.
Yeah.
And we stopped doing. He stopped doing that, and he got approached by Steve Ritchie, who was on the board at TAPS, and which was based in Washington D.C. And he said, "You ought to do a golf tournament for TAPS." And Beau's comment was, "Well, what's that for, homeless dancers?" I mean, that was his. We never heard of it, and so he said, "No, I don't think so." And then he got a call from a high school friend in California who was in tears. They had just brought his son's body home. He was killed in Afghanistan. And he was just devastated. And Beau said, "Well, have you ever heard of TAPS?" And he said, "Oh, my gosh, yes. I don't know how we'd be getting through this without them." So
wow.
That was the motivation of Beau. He said, "Okay, we're doing this." So we started a celebrity golf tournament and doing these events for TAPS. And it's been huge. We've raised nearly $5 million for them.
$5 million. That
yeah.
is not an easy trick to raise $5 million. Tell everybody where they can go to learn more about TAPS, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it on the other side.
Yeah, well, TAPS.org.
That's easy, right?
That's easy, TAPS.org. And if you put a slash on there,
yeah.
It takes you to Colorado, TAPS.org/Colorado, but we're now focusing. We just did our Denver event, so there's
right.
a Colorado Springs event there that shows too. But TAPS.org is where you can learn all about TAPS, and I can tell
right.
you in a minute what they do.
Wonderful. And can people in other states outside learn where they can get involved with TAPS, hopefully, at TAPS.org?
Yes, it's
right.
We'll tell them what they. Yes, anybody who's lost a loved one in the service can become involved with TAPS.
Right, and if they wanted to contribute money, could they contribute in their own state?
Oh yes, I'm not sure. In Colorado, we put the money to Colorado because we do a.
That's what
camp.
I mean. Yeah.
But it does go to the national TAPS, and they
uh-huh.
do programs all over the country.
Yeah, and they do it. They probably use the money where it's needed most.
Yeah,
and that's a wonderful, wonderful charity. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Can you stay with us?
Sure.
Okay, great. We're talking to Lynn Cottrell, fundraiser extraordinaire for TAPS. longtime political activist. And boy, you're going to want to stay tuned because she has an interesting story to tell. And I think we have a few things in common here. Not everything, but a few things. So stay tuned. You're listening to Spouting Off. And this is Karen Cataline. We'll be right back.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Karen Cataline with you with my guest, Lynn Cottrell, who is a fundraiser for TAPS, a very effective political activist. You may have heard her out there, and she's collecting petitions in order to put the national popular vote on the ballot. So how ironic that we have to petition, and it's important, this issue on the ballot so that we can hold on to our votes in Colorado. That's what's going on. If you haven't signed the National Popular Vote petition to get it on the ballot so people can vote against the National Popular Vote, do that. Hopefully that made sense. We were talking about TAPS for a little bit. Tell us real quick before we move on, what kinds of programs does TAPS offer for the families of survivors who've lost a loved one?
Well, TAPS is basically our national network of peer support and connections. And they bring survivors together. Bonnie Carroll, who is the founder of TAPS, lost her husband back in 1996. And he was killed in a plane crash, and she just felt so alone and didn't begin to heal until she got with other people in the same situation. I mean, she said, gosh, there's a support group for everything in this country, but not for loved ones of the military. So she formed TAPS way back then, and it brings survivors together in different settings. Like we do survivor seminars, grief camps for kids. They do them for kids. They do them for siblings. They'll have them for parents, special ones, you know, or just spouses. And we've raised enough money to sponsor the one here in Colorado. They have them around the country now, but they do one in Colorado. And we even did sponsor the one, they do a suicide survivors seminar and grief camp for kids because of the high rate of suicide among veterans and returning military. It's terrible. Just terrible. In fact, I went to the session, and I went to the seminar, one of the sessions when I was looking at the program was for murder suicide. And what that was where a man had killed his wife and then himself. And there were people in that who had experienced their son had done that. It was really, you know, troubling for me to hear that.
Yes.
But basically, they help them honor their loved one. They help with their grief, and they help them to move on in their lives.
Yes.
So it's
having been...
Pardon?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, survivors helping survivors. And they actually go on to be mentors for other survivors.
Which is so important. Having been in the mental health field for a long time, we find all the time that people who are sharing a similar kind of issue can offer the kind of support that almost nobody else can. And they have a tolerance for listening and sharing that can be very therapeutic. I know TAPS does great work. Everybody who wants to get involved, who wants to refer someone, tragically, if you know someone, or wants to give money to TAPS, go to TAPS.org, right, Lynn?
Right, yes.
Right. So we're going to shift gears now because I've been wanting to have you on to talk about this. And we don't have a huge amount of time, but I really think this is important. I heard you call a talk radio program locally here around the time that the movie came out with Abby Johnson. What was the name of that movie? There was another one. There were two of them.
Well, this
recently that were pro-life movies.
Unplanned.
What's that?
Unplanned.
Unplanned, right. There's another one, and I want to see both of them. I haven't seen them yet. Waiting for them to come out on video. Unless, of course, you know, the powers that be try to shut it down. Anyway, Lynn called a talk radio program, and she mentioned that she saw this movie, Unplanned, about Abby Johnson, who, by the way, is going to be a guest at the Western Conservative Summit this weekend if you're in Colorado. And Abby Johnson worked in an abortion clinic, and she had a change of heart. And this movie, which was funded by people who are pro-life, tells her story. She indeed did have an abortion in her earlier life, and she was always pro-choice. And she called this talk radio station in order to tell the story to an extremely pro-life host that it had changed her mind.
Yeah, I've been pro-choice all my life, although I sort of had reservations about it. But I had friends who were pro-choice, and I felt fine about it. Then I did, and in my first marriage, I had two very, very small children and was pregnant and thinking we were going to split up, and I just didn't feel I could handle another child at that time. So I had an abortion, and then I've been, since then, I've been pro-choice and probably more strongly pro-choice because I had an abortion. So it's sort of reinforced being, you know, justified. That, and then I went to this movie, and over the years I've sort of think about, you know, what would this child be like now? And you have some sort of regrets about it. And then I went to this movie, and it just turned me. I went in.
What was it about the movie that turned you?
At the very end, I mean, it was the whole thing was like, oh God, I mean, this is so awful. It just, what was happening, and it just, when at the end, where she had regrets about her abortions, Abby Johnson,
mm-hmm.
and she went, at the end, she went to the fence there and laid roses, and for her lost, you know, two children she lost.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, that's me.
I
feel
wow.
the same way, you know, I just...
I can hear the emotion in your voice, and
yep.
and I cannot tell you how much respect I give you for being able to tell that story and be public with that story, because it speaks for a lot of people, and apparently that movie spoke to a lot of people. And the fact that you've been public about it, I think, takes a lot of courage, because I think women have been taught to believe that it's nothing. And so when they have an emotional reaction about it afterwards, there isn't a lot of support for, we were talking about support for TAPS, but to say, I'm really upset about this, and I'm grieving the loss of this child. So that seems to be what really touched your soul. Am I right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Exactly right. And there's been something
yeah.
sort of welling up, I think, over the years as I've gotten older. And you think about those things. And, of course, the more I've looked at things and seen things, I'm more convinced I'm pro-life.
Well, so, I called you not long after that interview to tell you my feelings. I am blessed and pleased that I never had an abortion. I also never had children. But I was pretty strongly pro-life, pro-choice, on libertarian grounds. I mean, I've always believed that there are things that I would persuade, and I still believe this to a large extent, things that I would want to persuade people not to do, but which I don't want the government forcing people not to do. I have some libertarian views there. And particularly as it relates to the very, very early stages of pregnancy. But as I have watched the left, as I what the real kicker for me, and there were a lot of them, was when New York City was celebrating late-term abortion until the baby is in the birth canal. And then, of course, Virginia governor telling this horrific story about how if the parents don't want the child, if maybe there's something wrong with the child, they're going to keep the child comfortable and they're going to discuss with the parent whether they're going to allow the child to live or die. Now, they wanted really badly to walk that back. You can't walk back infanticide. You just can't do it.
No,
and for
no.
the insane left, the insane left to be the moral arbiter of life and death, that's what made me pro-life. Because I always I always was. The very fact that people who have any kind of relationship to God know that they're accountable to God and not accountable to the state. Well, we certainly don't want to be accountable to the left, in which the origins of abortion are eugenics, and they've covered that up. You know, for a long time, I couldn't understand why are they elevating this woman, Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist, a racist,
right.
a bigot.
Yeah.
Well, why? Because, as David Horowitz says, and I'm going to let you in here in a second, but as David Horowitz says, inside every progressive is an authoritarian just screaming to get out. So it's excellent and important, because eventually those views always lead to force into, well, you know, how far is it really from the step from infanticide to saying that the elderly are no longer supportive, can't be helpful to the state, so let's just kill them off for their own good and ours. I mean, any government that would put its itself in charge of life or death issues like that is not something I want to be supportive of. So that is why I've become pretty darn pro-life. And I always was pro-life. So your thoughts about that. Sorry to go on and on, but I mean, these are passionate issues. And I just venture to say one more thing, that what we're talking about, the movie, my change of heart to a large extent, I think that there's a whole new generation of pro-life people of all ages because of things like the Virginia governor and New York City and movies like this. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. I think I've talked to my pro-choice friends, and even when I was pro-choice, I was so against late-term abortions, and almost everybody is against them.
Yeah,
that you talk to. Just a late-term abortion, and it just didn't make sense to me. And then to see the left start moving the way they were going, it just was absurd. And I think more and more people are seeing the absurdity of that. And you're right, when New York, they lit up the tower with a pink. Oh, my God. It was just...
Yeah, supporting abortion. They're celebrating abortion. Remember when abortion was supposed to be safe and rare and legal? Well, just like every single thing the left has done in recent years, we have seen what they really believe. You know, we don't want to take your guns away. Yeah, they do. We don't want to, we don't believe in genocide. Well, yeah, you do. Infanticide.
Yeah, yeah.
All of these things. We believe in the right to vote. Well, you just finished, you're gathering petitions for the national popular vote because a governor who decided he knows better than the rest of us is going to take our vote away for president of the United States because we happen to live in Colorado. Huh? What?
Yep, and there have been a couple Democrat governors that have vetoed it, which...
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
There are Democrat governors who vetoed it. But the very notion, what hubris to go around Congress, which they know they don't have the votes to do. Now, I submit, Lynn, that if they believed that they would win with the Electoral College and they could get rid of Donald Trump with the Electoral College, which they couldn't do, suddenly they wouldn't be fighting against the Electoral College. What do you think?
Well, I absolutely agree. I mean, it's all about them wanting to win. And they think that California and New York have enough votes that they could carry it for them.
Yeah, so, and think about this, too. You got to start putting some of these puzzle pieces together. I wrote a piece about that very thing, about you got to start putting some of these policies together and figure out how they work together into a bigger picture. We have over 20 political presidential candidates on the left who are advocating for open borders, free health care for illegals, which they won't give to citizens, nor should they. People ought to pay for their own health care. And so if you combine, and I forget that they're fighting Donald Trump because they want illegals to be represented in the census. How about that? So okay. They want illegals to be represented in the census, and they want unlimited illegal immigration, and then they want to give our votes to California and New York. You think there's like a, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to understand that they want to overwhelm the country with leftist votes so they can force through their agenda. Am I wrong?
No, that's exactly what they're doing.
I'm sorry. I know you and I agree. And this is funny because you and I have definitely been on the opposite side of certain issues. But they're usually, you know, just a difference in approach and perspective.
Yeah,
not
goals
necessarily.
Are the same.
Yeah. We have only about 3 or 4 minutes, and I've been going on and on. I want to give you the floor, the last word. Tell me what is animating you these days and what you want our listeners to know.
Well, I think it's up... I'm assuming your listeners are all conservatives.
You never know. You never know who's listening. And plus, after we get done with this show, the show's going to have a life of its own, and it will be on podcast for life, for everyone's life, and it'll exist. You know, who knows who will download this podcast? So go for it. You never know who's listening.
Well, that's right. Well, I don't know. I just think we conservatives just have to stand up now. We've got to. We can't stand down. I mean, this is an issue. We have to be proactive and get out there and talk to our friends and try to explain to them what's happening here. If they don't, the millennials are kind of a big problem. And what I'm seeing is most of they're just influenced by through education, where it started from grade school up. They're being indoctrinated, and they are now the teachers teaching our kids, so our kids are getting indoctrinated. So I think getting involved with your school board and schools is really important, because I think education is just where it is coming from. Mm-hmm. And I think the young people these days, though, are willing to listen. If you can talk to them and present the other side, typically they don't hear the other side. They're just hearing one side. So if you can be gentle and not lecture them and ask them questions, I think that's the best way to try to influence them and bring your points forward.
Yes, that's excellent advice. And I guess we're lucky in that during adolescence, people tend to rebel. So hopefully they will rebel against all that left-wing indoctrination, and maybe they'll be the next generation of conservatives.
Well, kids don't like to be controlled. And if you can get across the point to them that that's what the Democrats are trying to do, they're trying to control them and want to run their lives. And if they can sort of get that through their heads, you know, that might make them be more willing to listen.
Lynn, I have often thought that if Republicans would understand that, if they could communicate just the simplest idea that Republicans, conservatives, are the ones that don't want to control you. Yeah, we may have a theological, religious, or political ideology, but we're the ones that are willing to give up power so you can have more of it. The left is not that way. The left wants to grab for power so you can have less of it. If people would understand that, maybe we're in the fight for our lives. You are such a blessing, Lynn Cottrell. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for you. And you do this so selflessly to raise money for TAPS. Over $5 million Bo and Lynn have raised for TAPS. So if you're interested in TAPS, please help them out. They just did their big event, but they're always raising money for TAPS. TAPS.org. Anything else? If they want to get a hold of you, are you on Facebook?
I am. Lynn Cottrell.
Okay. Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E. I never know if there's an E there, but there is.
Yep, there
and
is.
C-O-T-T-R-E-L-L. But she's not trying to push her own agenda. She's pushing the agenda of freedom and conservatism. So thank you so much for joining us, Lynn Cottrell. Thank you for your personal story. We so appreciate that. And Godspeed. And keep doing the great work that you're doing.
We cheer you
and support you.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Our pleasure indeed. That's about all the time we have for this edition of Spouting Off. What an honor it is, not only to speak through this new microphone, but to speak on behalf of Spouting Off. You can reach me at my website at www.KarenCataline.com, Facebook/KarenCataline, Twitter @KarenCataline. It's all the same name. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, and to HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish, who happens to be my husband. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.